Hello and welcome to the Canadian Baseball Network podcast. My name is Peter Bean and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we profile the Toronto Mets and my guest is John Jepson. We had to take a short break from the show over the last few weeks, but we're back now and you can expect regular episodes from myself and Andrew Hendricks, as well as some other new faces coming to the show. About a month ago, I sat down with John Jepson. In the first part of the interview, John and I discussed the Premier Baseball League of Ontario, which he's the chairman of. We also reviewed the state of the game in Ontario. Later on in the interview, we talked about the Toronto Mets in depth, where they came from, their philosophy, and their past successes. Let's get to that interview right now.
Hi, thanks again for being here, John. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me on.
Now, before we talk about the program, I want to learn a little bit more about your background in baseball. How did you get started in the game?
Well, my dad was quite a baseball player back in the province of Quebec in his day, and I used to go to his games and be a bat boy for his team when I was really quite young. And then I started playing in Little League, actually. I played 4 years of Little League in Montreal before graduating to Peewee, Bantam, Midget, and Junior, and finished up there. And when I moved to Toronto in 1970, I had 1 year of junior eligibility left and played for the High Park Braves that just 1 year. And that was basically the end of my baseball career when I was 21 years old in terms of playing, at any rate.
Is that when you made the move into coaching?
It was a few years after that. I had a job at that time as a young guy in the oil business and did a lot of traveling and really wasn't able to make that kind of a commitment. And then one of the gentlemen that I moved from Montreal with, our employer transferred both of us at the same time, he had a son playing Bantam in the North York Baseball Association at Bond Park, and he asked me if I'd come out, this was in 1980, if I'd come out and help him coach because he knew I was very interested in baseball, and I said yes. And when I got there, he told me that they had three parent coaches and really didn't need me, but they got my own team, or they got me my own team. So much to my surprise, I went from being a part-time assistant, and the folks in North York gave me a Bantam team that year, and I spent the next 20 years coaching in the North York Baseball Association, first at Bantam, then juvenile, and then 15 years managing their junior team from about 1985 to 1999. The last couple of years working with Jason Chioloy, who came in through the organization as well. And in those years, and especially in the 90s, we had a lot of successes. It seems like it was either Windsor or North York going to the Canadian National Championships at the junior level, and we went three times in the 90s and came back with two gold medals in those years in 1996 and 1998. Both of those were held in Kitchener. So we were, I guess, Ontario was the second host team after Kitchener. We won the gold medal those 2 years, and then I took about a year off. I helped in 2000. I helped Jason Chioloy with the first year the 18U Team Ontario team came into existence. I helped him as a business manager that year, and then went back to coaching in North York for a few years, and we won another gold medal with the Bantams in 2003. And then we started up the Mets in September of 2004.
Now, you've obviously had a lot of success as a coach, but is there any moment or moments that stand out to you as ones you're most proud of?
I think probably, the first two gold medals with the junior team probably resonate most in my memories. It's always just thrilling to win a national championship, but those teams, 1996 and 1998, were two completely different teams, as they will be with it when you're dealing with teams that have an age limit on them. And I think there was only one player that was eligible to play or did play for both teams. So I think those two championships, Peter, bring back the fondest memories in my baseball coaching career.
Now, how do you see your methods as different. Is there anything that you can highlight that differentiates your coaching methodologies?
No, I don't think so. I think my, I've learned this from people that I respected. I learned it from my dad, and I look and I see other people using the same basic philosophy. I think of people like Dan Thompson with the Terriers when he was coaching with the Terriers, or Donnie Campbell in Ottawa. I think basically my philosophy is understand what your players can do, understand what they're capable of and what they're not capable of, and understand that, you know, when you're dealing with 16 or 17, for all intents and purposes, teenage boys, you can't expect that they're all going to react the same way. You have to treat them differently, understand what their needs are. Some need to be kicked in the butt, some need to be patted on the back, and I think a good coach learns this, understands what his players can and can't do, and how they react to different kinds of coaching. I'm never going to put myself out there as an outstanding technical coach or an outstanding teacher, but I always tried to surround myself when I was managing ball teams with people who did have those strengths.
Okay, I want to talk about the Premier Baseball League of Ontario. You're the you're the chairman of the league, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I'm just finishing up my second term. They have these elections every year at our annual general meeting in November, and a couple of years ago I got nominated and elected before I even knew what was happening. And I blame my good buddy Dan Blywas for that, because he engineered it, to be honest with you. But you know what? It's been good. It's been two fairly quiet years in terms of any turmoil or politics that can be a part of baseball in the province of Ontario and other provinces for that matter. So it's been fairly smooth, and I'm not a dictator or a guy who says it's going to be this way or it's going to be that way. I try to work with all the teams to build a consensus, and we try to do things like building schedules and things like that, and be fair to all nine organizations. I think we've accomplished that over the last two seasons, and I have to admit that having people like Linda Lewis as the commissioner and Rick Downton as the secretary and treasurer, it just makes it so easy to do, because these are very experienced, very competent people, and they're there all the time in terms of making sure I don't do anything foolish.
You mentioned the lack of politics over the last couple of years, and that was actually my next question with regards to politics and just the general direction of baseball in Ontario. I imagine your role at the head of the PBLO gave you some insight into that. How do you think baseball is trending in Ontario?
Well, it has been quiet, but certainly the relationship. The thing the PBLO has, Peter, is the relationship with the Ontario Baseball Association. We certainly don't agree on everything that's out there, the OBA or Baseball Ontario and the PBLO. We're not 100% in agreement on everything, but we do agree on, on the basic principles of how we want to conduct this relationship, the understanding that the PBLO does not, the PBLO teams do not get involved with bantam age players or younger, with the exception of pretty well all the PBLO teams operate what we would call fall and winter development teams, development programs. But we don't operate in season 15 and 14 and 13-year-old teams. And we leave that to the OBA, and we ask that they do whatever they can to produce players coming out of bantam who are ready to step into the PBLO. For the most part, that's what happens. It's been that way. There are other organizations who are operating in the province of Ontario outside of the PBLO who have different beliefs and operate differently, and that's fine. It's that's up to them to decide what they want to do. The PBLO, for the time being, has this arrangement with Baseball Ontario, and it's been renewed for one more year. So I imagine they're just as happy as we are, and they recognize we have differences. So we work towards trying to resolve these differences, and we keep the relationship going. It has been up and down at times, but for the last 5 or 6 years, I'd have to say it's been pretty good.
What's the biggest challenge facing the organization right now going forward?
I think the biggest challenge facing the PBLO and the OBA is I'm going to refer to the PBLO as the recognized elite league. It is the recognized elite league in the province of Ontario by Baseball Ontario. The biggest challenge, I think, is the other organizations, the non-recognized organizations who are neither OBA nor PBLO, and their willingness to operate teams that are 14 and 12 and 11 years old. I think that has potentially serious implications in terms of undermining the grassroots programs that that Baseball Ontario operates. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how to change that, to be quite honest with you, Peter. It's just as some PBLO teams operate as a business, so do many of these teams that operate outside the PBLO operate as a business. And how do you go to somebody like that and say you can't be taking these 12 and 13-year-olds, because basically you're telling them you can't run your business the way you're running it right now? And we don't have the authority to do it. The OBA doesn't have the authority to do it. But your question was, what's the most serious challenge out there? And I think that's it. The potential to undermine the grassroots that Baseball Ontario has going, because some organizations are taking these very young players in the summer months.
Okay, let's talk about the Toronto Mets. What's your official role with the team, and what does that entail?
Well, Jason Chialoy and I were approached by the Toronto Baseball Association in the summer of 2004. They basically came to us and said, listen, you know, there are all of our players graduating from Bantam. Many of them are leaving the TBA midget leagues, and they're going to play for established PBLO teams. At the time, that would have been the Ontario Blue Jays, Team Ontario, Oakville, the team that was operating out of Hamilton at the time. And they were looking for something that would keep the players sort of home and offer them an option to play closer to home, but still at that PBLO level. So we started up the program in September of 2004, so that means we're entering our 10th full season now. We were a hybrid team in the beginning, Peter. We were a little bit different in that we remained an OBA-sanctioned team, and we concentrated for the first 3 or 4 years of our existence on Canadian championships. We did minimal traveling in the summer. We played in the Toronto, the Leaside Junior League, Howie Burney's Leaside Junior League. We played a full slate of games in that league, and then we went to the midget eliminations to try to get to the midget national championships. We won the Canadian midget national championships in 2007 and 2008. And then sort of got away from that. But to answer your question, my official title is general manager of the Toronto Mets. Jason and I are the co-founders. Jason he is the director of baseball operations. His responsibility focuses on what goes on between the white lines, and my responsibilities focus on the business and administration and the relationships with the players and parents.
Who are some of the other coaches and key members that are involved in the program?
Well, neither Jason nor I are in uniform anymore, and haven't been for a few years. So our longest serving manager at the present time is our 16U manager, Bob Roberts, who came out of the North York Baseball Association, coached with me for many years. He's been I think this is his sixth or possibly seventh season managing the 16U team. He has told us this is his last season because He wants to watch his grandson play, and his grandson's eligible to play for the Mets next year. At the 18U level, Ryan McBride took over when Jason stepped out of uniform a few years ago. He and Rich Leach have done amazing things with the 18U Mets in terms of helping us transition from a residence team, which played for Canadian championships and Ontario championships, to a full-blown PBLO-only team that plays for North American championships. And, in fact, won a North American championship in 2010. We're the first 18U team to win the NABF 18U championship that year. We've added a 17U team this year, and we did it because we had a very large 16U roster last year, and we were only graduating about 8 or 9 players off our 18U roster. We had 21 players on our 16U roster last year, and we were faced with having to either release 10 or 11 of them or find them other places to play. We've never gone to a 17U team before because we never felt we had the right coaches in place. Well, a fellow by the name of Chris Kemlo, who's a former pro pitcher in the New York Yankees and Arizona Diamondbacks organization and played for Team Canada, played for Greg Hamilton, he was available, and we were very fortunate to be able to get Chris not only as the manager of our 17U team, but to bring him in as the program pitching coach for the Mets. So by bringing him in, and he brought along a couple of pretty good assistant coaches in Darrell Reed and Glenn Jackson and Justin Picard, we became very confident that this could work. So we established a 17U team this year, and for the first time, the Mets are operating 3 teams this year. So we feel we have a very, very strong coaching staff right through all 3 levels. We feel we have the right guys at the right levels, you know, doing the right things. And, you know, we're really excited to go with this.
Now, where do you play and work out?
We play our home games primarily at Bond Park in North York and Talbot Park at Bayview and Eglinton in Leaside. We also have played and will play some of our home games at Kinsmen Park in Oshawa. We try to schedule teams like when Ottawa comes to visit us. We play in Oshawa. It's a little closer for them to get to and get home after the weekend. So those are the 3 parks we play in primarily. We've been fortunate enough to get some playing time at some of the Scarborough parks, at Wishing Well and Nielsen. But the short answer is Toronto with some games in Oshawa.
Now, outside of your regular schedule, do you offer any programs, any camps, any special events?
We do. I guess I didn't fully answer your last question. You asked us where we trained. We bounced around a little bit. We were at Pro Teach. We've been in high school gyms. We were in this soccer dome in East York for a couple of years. And as of January 5th of this year, the baseball facility in Scarborough opened by the name of Out of the Park Sports. It was built by a couple of Mets dads who had players who had graduated from our program, and they built it, I guess, with the idea that the Mets would become the main tenant, and we are. We are, although Jason and I or the Mets themselves don't have a financial interest in this facility, we are the prime tenant, so we get, you know, first choice of the hours, and we went in there with a couple of the local baseball associations. North York and Scarborough also work out there. It's a terrific facility, 14,000 square feet, all new equipment, 4 batting tunnels, 3 portable mounds, a very large area for long toss and infield workouts, and, you know, we're very fortunate to be able to use that. With that up and running this year, the Mets, for the last couple of years, have run summer week-long camps at Bond Park and Nielsen Park for North York and for Scarborough Stingers. And these would be just bantam and younger players, all the way down to Mosquito. What we did this year is we partnered this fall. We partnered with Out of the Park Sports and offered a full-blown development program, a 15U team that played in tournaments and played exhibition games in the fall. We'll work out all winter and then go to Florida for spring training. And then a development program, two of them, one for Bantam age players and one for Mosquito and Peewee age players. So there's about, I guess, 75 players in that development program this year. And it is our first year. It's been quite successful. We have a couple of really good guys heading it up, and Kyle Shepard and Todd Betts is managing our 15U team. Todd played for me in 1992 and then played 15 or 16 years of pro ball and is now back in the Toronto area and teaching youngsters how to play ball.
What is your program's core philosophy?
It's cliche, Peter, but it's school first. And we mean it, and we back it up. And Jason and I decided early in the Mets, in the infancy of the Mets, in our program, that we couldn't just say it and then not back it up. So the program was designed then and continues to be designed today to focus on school first. We don't schedule long trips in the fall. The fall trips are, we leave like Friday at noon to go play our games at the universities in the U.S. and we're back Sunday night. So a player playing for our 18U team this year, if he does everything, if he's healthy through the whole season and he does everything, he may miss 4 or 5 days of school. With our 16U team and our 17U team, it's about the same. They missed a couple of days for tournaments in the fall, and the 16U team going to Florida will leave a couple of days before March break starts, so they'll miss a couple of days there. But that's it. We're serious about it. We don't do our summer travel. We don't start our summer travel until that last school bell rings at the end of June. We serious. And I think the proof is in the pudding. I was going through on the weekend, going through the list of the graduated Mets, and through the years, we've sent our players to 61 different schools. We don't believe in pigeonholing a player or just sending them to a school because that's where all the Mets have gone in the past. We sit down with these guys when they come in. We explain to them how marks are so important, and that's the dirty little secret about scholarships. Very certainly, your skills as a baseball player are going to matter in terms of what college coaches, what university coaches are going to be offering you a scholarship, if at all. But the other little secret is that marks really do matter, and if you're coming out, I mean, you can't expect the Mets or anybody else to get you into a Division I school University of Michigan or any of the Ivy League schools or the University of British Columbia if you're carrying a 65 or 70% average when you come out of school. You're going to have to do your part. So we explain that to them. We explain that to the parents, and then we sit down with the parents, and it's kind of a complicated matrix in terms of what school should a player go to. It depends on his marks, his baseball skills, his family's financial resources, and for that matter, how comfortable is a player being how far from home. So all of these things have to be factored in. Does the school offer the kind of academic program that interests this player so that if he isn't offered $1 million to sign after 4 years in university, that he's going to have a piece of paper when he comes home that's going to be meaningful to him as he goes forward in his own family and in his own career. So we think we're different in that respect. We explain to the parents how complicated it is, and we get their input in terms of where they want to go. And the other thing, we take our players to tournaments where we believe they have an honest-to-God chance to get scholarships. We don't go to tournaments in Florida. We don't go to tournaments in Texas or Louisiana because, quite frankly, the universities in those states really don't need out-of-state, let alone out-of-country players to fill their roster. They have really good ball players, homegrown right there, that don't cost their teams a fortune in scholarship funds because they all get in-state. They all get in-state rates, so you know the coach can spread his limited resources around a little bit better than if he had to pay some young man's tuition, you know, coming from Canada. Now, there are exceptions to that rule. There are really good ball players that would fit on any D coming out of Ontario and British Columbia and Quebec that could play on any D1 roster down there, and they will pay it. But for 18 of the 19 guys on our 18U team that are graduating in the next 2 years, we have to go to places where we think that we can get them scholarships. So we concentrate on New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan, those states in the northern tier, and we've been quite successful with that.
Tell me a little bit about your alumni, some of the past players who played for your organization and where they've ended up.
Well, the ones that come to mind right away, I think, are players like Max Tissenbaum, who, in fact, writes a blog for Canadian Baseball Network.
Yes, he does.
We never miss. Max came up through the North York Baseball Association ranks. He played 3 years with the Mets. Was drafted by, I believe, the Toronto Blue Jays as a graduating high school player in his final year with the Mets, and decided he was going to go to Stony Brook, and that worked out well for him because he was drafted again by the San Diego Padres and there. Brian Smith was drafted as he graduated from the Mets, a left-hander from Pickering, actually, who played 3 years with the Mets and then graduated and is playing in the Chicago Cubs organization. We had old fellas like Jake Iliopoulos came through the Mets program and was drafted on more than one occasion. And we've had a lot of players, that, you know, and some of them are starting to come back. We've had a fellow by the name of Greg Densom, who came through the Mets organization, went to UBC for actually 5 years because of an injury, was redshirted 1 year. And now he's back coaching. He's now the program coach for the Mets. He played for Team Canada the year that Brett Laurie played in Edmonton. He was part of that team. And we've had, there's, after 10 years, my mind goes a little blank. There's been so many guys go through our organization. But what's so exciting is to see how well these guys have done in school and starting careers for themselves after they get back from school. That's what I think really thrills those of us who've been on the Mets program from the very beginning.
I want to ask you about one of your current players, somebody who is on our 2014 draft list, sits in the third spot right now, Zach Pop. Can you tell me a little bit about Zach?
Zach kind of came out of nowhere. It goes back to May of 2012. He was playing for the midget team in Brampton. I'm not sure whether they were double A or triple A that year, but that's, you know, he was playing there. He was not on any of the so-called elite programs. He went out for Mark Picard's team, the Ontario youth team, for the 2012 summer edition. He didn't make the team that year. He went out as a pitcher, and he was as green can be at the time because he really hadn't been used as a pitcher in his playing Bantam baseball and Pee Wee baseball and midget baseball. He did a little bit of pitching, but not much. He caught the attention of one of Mark's assistant coaches, a fellow by the name of Kyle Shepard, who happened to be part of the Mets coaching staff with the 18U team last year. And Kyle brought him to our attention, and we asked him to come out, and he and his dad came out, and we had a chat with him, and he joined the Mets team at that point. So the exciting thing about Zach is I've never met anybody who's so obviously willing to learn and willing to, you know, to really put the hours in. The great thing about him is his arm is fresh. He's been a full-time pitcher for only about 16 months now, Peter, so he doesn't have those miles and miles on an arm that a lot of the 18-year-old players in our organization or any organization do. I know that sounds a little silly. How can an 18-year-old, you know, be burned out? But if you've been pitching and throwing a lot of pitches and pitching 100 innings a year since you were 10 or 11 years old, it adds up. Zach hasn't. He's pretty fresh. And in fact, he's with the Toronto Blue Jays scout team this week. As we're recording this, he's down in Jupiter and pitching for that team and that showcase down in Jupiter. And I understand throwing pretty well.
My last question for you. People want to join the program, want to learn more about the program. How should they do that?
Well, as with anything else these days, it's the easiest way to go is the website, www.torontomets.ca. You can find out a lot of information about the program there, and it also gives you, there's also a website inquiry mechanism that you can send email inquiries if you have any questions about the program or want to come out. Want to see what's going on, you can send an email through that mechanism. It will go to myself and our webmaster, Hansing Leung, who is one of our 16 U coaches and looks after our website for us. And we generally respond within about 48 hours we'll try to help them out.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time coming on the show today.
Well, Peter, I don't speak for all of Baseball Ontario, but I speak for the Mets and the PBLO, and I just want to let you know that we really do appreciate what you guys at CBN are doing for baseball in the province and in the country.
And that's it for this episode of the podcast. I'd like to thank John Jepson of the Toronto Mets for joining me. I'd also like to thank the Isotopes for the music for our show and Effective Business Video for the production. If you have a suggestion for the show, please email us at podcast@canadianbaseballnetwork.com. Thanks for listening to the Canadian Baseball Network podcast. I'm Peter Bean, signing off.